Today I'm here to talk about the January VHF contest and specifically to get the club back on the board again.
Is there going to be a Ratchet Pit Club?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Ratchet, not yet. I think we got to build to get the system in place for a few different local clubs. And then once we have that, then we can, you know, look at the Rochester Cup. But right now, you know, like this club really hasn't put in a huge effort in over 20 years. We got to kind of lay the groundwork a little bit first and get things going. This is from Brian's article that he put in earlier in the year. This was the ARRL gavel when he won the medium club competition with over 1 million points 30 years ago this year. Next slide.
Yeah, that was the national competition.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really something.
So here's the results again from Brian's article. XARC. Over 1 million points, took number one in the medium club category, and that's the biggest category nationwide, is the medium club category. And what you'll see here is the Rochester Cup, which was something that Rochester VHF Group sponsored, you know, decades ago. And perhaps one day we'll be able to do something like this again if we get enough of the local clubs going again. But, you know, you see Rochester DX Association had their own entry. You know, so from my side of the state at the time, Troy Amateur Radio Association, Rip Van Winkle, so some of the other things that I participated in from many years ago, the Albany Amateur Radio Association. So, you know, back when I lived out on that side, FN32. So, you know, pretty popular. You can see that you had 37 entries. I don't think we're going to get much more than a handful this time, but you know, the objective is just to get something so that you can build on it. Next slide. So why club contesting? If you've ever been in a VHF contest by yourself, it can be kind of boring. You know, it's just, you kind of go on the air and it's just, you know, you make a couple contacts and that's it. But similar to field day, when you get a group of people together to do it, you know, you have something to build on. You have something to try to contribute to a club score, a cumulative score. And that's why I enjoy it. You know, I contest with the Rochester VHF group. I've won every category. I don't do it for my win anymore. I do it for the sake of the club win. And a lot of the people that we talk to are the locals that we already know, you know, so it's kind of fun. You can get on there, you know, not a lot of rag chewing, but you know, when it's slow, you can, you know, have a few conversations and put some people in the log. So there's three different club categories, local, which is basically all your fixed stations have to be within a 35-mile radius of a center point, and then 10 or fewer logs that get submitted. And this is a great option for this club, and it's the category that you're currently registered. Somebody registered you back in 2017, and I'm not sure for what contest, but it's still in there, and I'll show you that list a little bit later. Then when you get up to the medium club category, you know, usually what drives there is more than 10 entries. And so many clubs are in this category, and very few actually make it in the unlimited category. There's a handful, but it's tough to get 51 people in a club, in an amateur radio club these days, to participate. But Rochester VHF Group has done it once in the past couple of years, but we had to reach out to, we pulled in people from like your club into our club. It was about 5 years ago, and we kind of gave you honorary status, but, you know, trying to take a little different approach now and get clubs, you know, back up and running like they used to years ago. Next slide. So VHF versus HF contesting, very different beasts. So, you know, in HF contesting, sometimes it feels like this lower right-hand picture where you're just, you know, the contacts are coming fast and furious, and you almost don't even know which way to turn. VHF contesting is different. You know, you're out on a boat with a buddy, and you know, you're pulling in a fish maybe every hour or something like that. But it's different. And if you're not ready for that difference, you might think, well, what's wrong with my radio? Nothing's wrong with it. There's, you know, it's just a slower pace and more of a local type of action. Next slide. So what kind of frequencies do we normally use in a VHF contest? You know, these are those, you know, what's common. So 50.125 is the single sideband calling frequency and on 6 meters. And it's okay normally on VHF to use a calling frequency. People don't, you know, get all upset about it. But you'll hear them all the way from 125 up to 200. These days, though, FT has taken over 6 meters. So you very rarely hear sideband, people calling CQ on 6 meter sideband anymore. They pretty much start right on 50.300. They leave their computers there. You know, some of the guys in the VHF group have dedicated computers now just for 6 meter, like WK2TER, dedicated radio just for 6 meters. Yeah. And they leave it there. And it's kind of like the watering hole, if you will, of VHF contesting now. The reason that works well for newer people is a lot of times you don't know where to go, what frequencies to use. You don't, you know, it's just, it's tougher to, oh, I got the wrong frequency in there, by the way. 313.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah, let me, I'm a little typo there. I got,
the closest lines for
yeah, it's 313. So I'll have to fix that.
What's the date of the meeting of practice that's there out there?
Yeah, it was on the very first slide. What did I say? January 20th and 21st. Yep. So it starts at 2 p.m. on a Saturday and goes through 11 p.m. on Sunday. So we can send this out with the correction on the frequency there. 2 meter FT8 is also used, not quite as popular. People are still quite, you know, quite a bit of sideband and FM on that. And that usually goes from about 190, usually, you know, the CW folks are usually lower in the band, and then up to 260. Very popular in our area, 146.55, but only during certain times of the day. We kind of have these pockets where people, you know, folks will get on and use FM.
6.55 sounds like a repeater.
It's a simplex. It's the simplex frequency.
That's
You
fine.
know?
That's 1.65. That's 5.255.
5.8. Yep.
Okay, got it. That's what it sounded
Yep.
familiar. Okay.
Although I'm only showing four bands here, these are the four that I would say are clearly the most popular. But you know, some people like me would, you know, well, we'll go out with 10 bands and, you know, go crazy with it. You've seen my car. But the concept here in VHF is very different than HF. And typically in HF, you go to a band and you stay on that band. You work as many people as you can on the band, and then you move to a different band. In VHF, if I'm talking to Bob and I find him on 6 meters, I'm going to say, Bob, let's move up the bands. And so we'll work all the way up the bands until we don't have any frequencies in common anymore. Then we'll go back to where we started. And so it's pretty common. And I think the first time Bob noticed that in field day when I was doing that, he says, are you really working that guy 10 times in a row? And I said, yes, because, you know, I'm working him up the bands. So it's, you know, it's a very different concept. And especially as you go up in frequency, you might have started on, say, FM, but then you went to sideband. By the time you're on, say, you know, 432, you might have to switch over to CW because that's just the way it is. In VHF contesting, you don't get anything special for a mode. It's whatever mode works. So when people go to CW and VHF, it's because that's all that they can make the contact with. So it's purely weak signal, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later. Next slide. So the workhorse that almost everybody has at their house is FM. You know, in some way, shape, or form, everybody has FM. Maybe they're in their car, in their house, and it's almost truly all vertical polarization, just like you would expect. And it's excellent for work around here. Most people can get 20 to 25 miles, no problem, with their home station. You know, 15 to 20 miles in their mobile station, and you know, you can see even with a very small, you know, four element vertical Yagi, you get some impressive gain on 2 meters, you know, 10 dBi of gain. You know, of course, you have to either have them pointed in multiple directions, or you have to have a rotor, right? And so once you get the rotator going, then you know, cost and complexity go up. But even 4.5 dB gain of on 2 meters with typical home verticals, not too bad. Next slide. You know, this is a typical kind of a radio that you see now. I mean, you know, Yaesu, or you get some of the Chinese knockoffs, but you know, that radio right there has got 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters built in. That's the radio I have in my car. So, you know, you're basically on the three most common bands on FM. And so if you're to, you know, take a lap around the four corners of all the different grid squares, you know, you have enough in your car to make some contacts. And the circle that I'm showing here is, you know, what you might expect for range with 50 watts and 6 dB of gain on Simplex. So, you know, from one side of Rochester to the other, you know, you should be able to make that no problem, assuming you don't have any large obstructions. And kind of the fun of VHF contesting is to see what your gear can do. A lot of people get used to repeaters, and the repeater does all the work, while your station doesn't have to do much. But, you know, this is kind of fun to get out there on Simplex and just see, you know, how far could I actually talk on Simplex if I wanted to? And you know, there's enough people on the contest to make that worth it. Next slide. Sideband is really the kind of the bread and butter of DX contesting. Just about everybody can do it. You know, that's an all mode contesting. These are the kind of radios that are out there for it. So you see the upper one is like the typical FT817 or 818, low power QRP. Very tough to do QRP contesting with VHF, but a lot of folks will use a radio like that to drive a transverter or an amplifier. It's a cheap way to get on the band. And you can step up, the HF all modes. I think that's the 857. That also has 2 meters and 70 centimeter all mode in it.
You know, but they stop making that?
They may have.
I have one.
Which one is that? 857?
One, yeah.
Yeah. But you can still get them pretty easy.
You know, I think what they did is they came out with one that doesn't have 2 meter and 440.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're disappointing.
Below that is the FT991A. And it's getting a few years old, but you can see it's got the digital waterfall in it. You know, that's it's base station, but it's small enough where you can take it out with you. So I use that radio as the dedicated digital radio because it's got just the USB connector to a computer. So that radio for me typically doesn't have a microphone or anything else connected to it, just the computer. And then the older one that they don't make anymore is the Kenwood TS2000. They made it for a long time. They even made a model that had 1.2 gigahertz in it. But they just don't want to support that anymore. And that's okay. But on sideband, in VHF, UHF, and microwave, it's all horizontally polarized, sideband and CW. So this is where it gets a little difficult for folks who don't have this kind of setup. They might have it on 6 meters. They might have a dipole in the backyard or something like that. So they might be horizontally polarized there, but the other bands are not. And so if you want to really compete, you would have to install some type of an arrangement here. Now they make Moxons, and Moxons are like a two element Yagi folded over on themselves. And a 2 meter Moxon is only this big. You know, I keep one of those on my garage, and a 6 meter Moxon, which is what I drive with, you know, it's not that big. And so it's reasonable when you fold in the ends, you know, it doesn't make it too big. So you can put something like that up. Next slide. FT8, like I said, that's becoming very popular. There's one thing that some people from HF forget to do all the time, and that's to switch over to VHF mode. And so I drew an arrow over here to the tab in the configuration. You go all the way over to advanced, and it says, this is the same thing you have to do for field day, by the way. You go to special operating modes, and you have to select NA for North America VHF contest. And what this does is you no longer send signal reports like R plus 02, right? Or R minus 14. It just sends grid squares. So it changes the format of the exchange. So you can imagine if you're trying to contest with somebody and you're sending FN 13 and they're saying R minus 04, it gets messed up. And it keeps the system will go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until somebody finally figures it out and either accepts it, because you actually do get all the information you need. But you have to manually log it. And some people don't know what to do. It's like, well, I completed the exchange, but did I really complete?
That's one of those things that, as I said, is kind of complicated or confusing about FT8 is sometimes you really got to go in and read the manual, which I've done many times to try to figure out some of these things.
Very important step to do is to get the NAVHF on. Same thing with field day. When we operate field day, I have to select ARRL field day. And then if you notice all the way to the right, it says FD exchange, and so that's where I have to put our.
You're talking about the.
Yeah, this is WSJTX, yeah.
Okay, and so you go up to the advanced screen of WSJTX.
Yes. Yep.
And the settings. Yeah, because the app settings are mine.
Yes. You know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time, the defaults are
are good, other than the one you got to put into your own station.
But this is different.
Yeah, this is important, and you will be very frustrated if you forget to do this. As I mentioned, 6 meters now, there's more FTA contacts by mode than there are any other contacts on 6 meters now.
So I could do, I haven't done FTA on six, but I could do it just by, and I got a flex radio.
Yep. Hit the button and go. Yeah.
And you can get my lawnmower to load up. Yep. I have an over 20.
Chances are you'll get a dozen contacts during the VHF contest.
Okay. But I got to go over, I got to change WSKT.
Yep. And I've got the software here, so this looks a little blurry there. I'll show you exactly how to do that when I'm done. Next slide. CW is necessary, absolutely necessary, if you want to try to win a contest. So, you know, I compete for number one, number two, and number three spot in just about everything I do, and it's absolutely necessary. So when you get into microwaves, CW is, you can't do microwaves very well without CW. And people will think, oh, well, I don't want to learn CW, but this is true weak signal communication. This is not me on HF doing 25 words per minute with a S9 signal. This is having to put on earphones and really, really listen out of the noise to hear the guy. And so you'll slow down. Sometimes I'll take a straight key with me and replace the paddles and go to straight key so I can get really, really slow. And so you just kind of see an example. When a guy sends dashes to help you peak your antenna, he might do it at 18 words per minute and I can hear him. Then he goes to send his exchange, I can't copy. And so, you know, tell him to slow down. He gets down to 6 words per minute and all of a sudden I can copy him again. So you do what you have to do in VHF contesting, and 6 words per minute,
lower the data rate.
You do what you got to do and it works. At that point, though, there's no rag chewing. You already know the guy's call sign. You know the entire exchange because you started on 2 meters with the guy. And now you're up on 10 gigahertz. So you already know all the exchange. But, you know, in fairness, you do have to hear it. You have to be able to copy it. Next slide. So you think VHF line of sight? No, it's an absolute myth. On any given day, I can park in Pavilion and make contacts up to 1.2 gigahertz with K1RZ in Maryland. And if you look at the curvature, and it's slightly exaggerated to show, the curvature would put our signals out in space. And so how are we doing this? You know, you know that VHF primarily will go right through the atmosphere, so what's kicking it back? And it's troposcattering. So we're scattering off the particles in the troposphere, which means that FM does not work well. Sideband barely works under this circumstance, but CW works great. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Okay, is it a bumpy atmosphere?
Below.
What's below?
I think it's below, yeah. So it's a lot of like dust particles and things like that. Yeah. So that's how we make contacts. And so when you hear somebody, you know, make a contact, you know, 300 miles on 2 meters, it's not e-skip like you get on 6 meters. It's troposcattering. And this works all the way up to 10 gigahertz. Next slide. Now, this is Dave's setup. So it's not that, you know, you got to have a decent setup. You're probably not doing 250 miles on microwaves otherwise. But so he's got the strong setup on his side. And I just go out in my car with a little setup. And it works. So
almost,
yeah, because he's got the arrays there. I don't see an elevation, but it could be there. Next slide. Now, this guy, John, he sets up FM Extreme Portable. He goes out for contests, and he enters the FM-only category. As you can see, everything there is vertically polarized. And this, he goes to unreachable places with his truck, and he wins every time he goes out. So, yeah, you can see it's big stuff can be done with FM, but it's tough to do. Next slide. All right, so I put this together to show, because you guys have your center point right in the middle of Rochester. You probably did that to capture all the people who might participate. So I drew this circle. In this circle, you'd have to be inside of that circle to participate with the club's contest. So that's your 35-mile radius. So how would it work? You know, if we're both in FN 13, I'm home and Brian's home, I'd say K2AF, this is KF2MR and FN13. So I've given both call signs and I've given my exchange, which is FN13. And he responds back KF2MR, K2AF, FN13. So that, again, he sent both call signs and his exchange. And then we need some form of acknowledgement. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, thanks, 7-3. And that's what the ARRL requires as an exchange. Both call signs sent and received, your exchange sent, exchange received, and acknowledgement. And you'll see that in various forms on CW, sideband, FT8. Pretty simple. So if I've got my log sheet in front of me, you know, I know what frequency I'm on. I'm station work, K2AS. What did I send? I sent FN13. I received FN13. If FN13 is new, you know, first time I worked it, I write that as a new multiplier, and away we go. Mobile stations have an option. It's a fairly new option. If, say you're out just driving around doing chores, and you want to participate in the contest. Historically, you would have had to go to two grid squares. Bob says, you know, I'm just going out for coffee. I don't want to go all the way to Leroy and be in two grid squares or down to Victor. It used to be that you had no option. They changed the rules. If you're going to stay in your grid square and you want to mobile around, you can do that. You don't have to sign as a rover, or you can sign as a rover. It's completely your option. And when you submit your log, it'll count one way or the other. Most rovers, though, will go to two or more grid squares. And so in our area in Leroy, we have the four corners converge. And so folks will go to the four corners and, you know, make a lap around there and see if they can make any contacts. Now, it's tough in Leroy because you have, you know, the topography doesn't really support getting out to Rochester very well. But if you've got some people on the west side and Chilai or stuff like that, it'll work out pretty well.
You do it with other people and you all work each other.
You can. I've done that.
You must still do that.
It's fun the first couple times, and then it gets a little boring.
It's a little stupid. Everybody sweats.
Yeah. So what we've done before, if you think about it, four grid squares, you could do, and just say you have two people, you could do 16 combinations if you really wanted to. One guy stays in 13 while the other guy goes 13, 3, 2, and 12. And then you move to 3 and you do all again. You could do 16 combinations if you chose to. I think I would be bored out of my mind by the time I was done with that.
We did four stations out there.
But what we would do is we would go and meet up for lunch in Leroy. And then after lunch, we would go around the circle once, all four at the same time. So we'd do 16 combinations, you know. And that helps on microwaves. Say you're missing FN02. Nobody lives in FN02 that has 10 gigahertz. So when you meet for lunch, you just go down there and you make a quick 10 gigahertz contact with the guy sitting next to you. There you go. But I'll tell you, that's kind of boring. So it's not all that fun.
Also cold.
Yeah, it is cold. Which, you know, a few years back, about 5 years ago, there was a humongous snowstorm that shut down the highways. And so I was the only idiot out there. And I got, you know, the cops didn't stop me because I had this big, gigantic thing on my roof. They thought, well, he must belong here. And I won that contest pretty easily because I think everybody else went home.
Absolutely. Did we learn yet? All over again.
I put the stickers on the magnets on the side of the car, and I haven't been hassled since.
You think they eventually catch up?
Yeah. All right, next slide. All right, this is kind of small, and I won't go over it in detail, but there's a lot of categories you can participate in if you want to compete. And so let's say you want to compete in an FM-only category, you can do that. If you want to be single operator, low power, high power, there's a whole bunch of ways to do this. But if you've got the typical 6 meter, 2 meter, 70 centimeter, there's special categories for you. And it's a single operator three band. So it limits you to 100 watts of power on 6 meters and 2 meters, which is typical for our radios, and then 50 watts on 432. And so that's a very accessible category for people with, you know, the typical all-mode radios. And so consider that the single op three band category when you're submitting single op FM. FM only. You know, if you don't have an all mode 6 meter radio, or you're not doing FT8, then 6 meter, 2 meter, oh, 2 meter and 70 centimeter FM would be a reasonable category. The only category I don't recommend on here is the unlimited rover, and that's because they relax the rules, and they do that to let you do all kinds of crazy things with, you know, when you're driving around, you can hook up to a tower, you can do all kinds of things, but you can't submit for a club score. I don't recommend that. You know, people have their own reasons for doing things, but I just don't see why they would do that. All right, any questions on the categories? So you guys would probably be thinking about like single out three bands.
Yeah,
that probably makes sense. Yeah, single out three band would work for you. If you're gonna, you don't have to have three, no. That's fine, yeah. But that way you're not competing with guys with 10 bands, you know. You could do it. No, you can do whatever you want. You can pick any category here.
Yeah. I mean, my objective would be getting a couple of points.
Yeah. You, and so you literally, you could submit as a single op, and you're not compete. You're not really competing for yourself, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter. These categories are really for people who are trying to earn awards. If you don't care about earning an award, which most of us don't, you know, you're just doing it for the club. Pick any single op category, low power, you know, whatever it is. All right, next slide. Logging. Most of the contest software works just fine. The same one that we use, N3FJP, that we use for field day. He makes a VHF log software that I've used. You have to pay like $9 for it or something like that. But N1MM, you know, any of the typical contest suites, they all have VHF, UHF logging. That's the best approach because it produces your log for you in Cabrillo format. But most people, the reason they never submit a log is just because it's different than they're used to for, say, you know, November sweepstakes. So for most people who are kind of just casual contesters, you could literally just use a log just like this. You know, keep down what, you know, take down what you've got and then convert it later by typing it in. If we have some time, I'll show you how to do that. Yes. As a service, though, I do that for anybody who wants to do it. So if you're telling me you're going to submit it for a Rochester area club and you send me a picture of your log, I'll convert it, send it back to you, say, yep, looks good, and I'll submit it on your behalf. I've done that for dozens of people. Next slide. All right, so how do you score? Our conversion here messed up a little bit, but just so you know how the points are calculated, 6 meters and 2 meters gives you 1 point, 70 centimeters gives you 2 points. And if you have higher bands from there, it just keeps going up 4 points and eventually 8 points. So on a log over here, what do you think we've got? Here's an example where we've got 10 QSOs times 1 point each gives us 10 points. Same thing with 2 meters, right? 12 QSOs times a point, and then 1.25, we got 2 points each.
Looks like it's also 1.25 is 220.
Yep. So you get 2 points each for that. Now, that's how many QSO points you get. Now, over here for grids, you get to count the grid as a multiplier. So you take your points times the multipliers, and the multipliers are for every band. So you can see I worked FN13 on 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, and 70 centimeters. And I get to count FN13 four times as a multiplier. So I contacted these four grids on 6 meters, these three on two, this one on 222, and two of them on up here. So how many grids do I have?
You can't have any more.
You repeat for each band.
So you've got four for 13.
We got 10. We got 10 total grids. Yep. And if we add up all of our band points, we go 10 plus 12. We got 22 plus 8 is we got 30 plus another 10 is 40. So 40 times 10, we got 400 points. So that's how we would calculate that. Now the computer does it for us, but you know, just kind of go through an example. Rovers, we repeat our contacts in every grid we go to. So say you make a contact with me and I'm an FN13. I start a whole new log when I go to FN02. I start a whole new log when I go to FN12. So rovers tend to be popular because you can keep making contacts with them over and over and over again. All right, next slide. We only have a few folks here, so I'm not going to go through this because I'd have to disconnect the computer. But basically, when people ask for help converting their logs, I go to the B4H website, and you basically type your contacts into this log, this software, and it can produces a full Cabrillo format, and it will even give you the option to submit it to the AWRL. So in any way, shape, or form, anybody sends me a log, I can just type it in and it will produce it. Now for me, you know, I make 400 contacts in a contest. I absolutely will do it electronically right from the beginning. But my son did it on paper because he doesn't know how to use logging software.
There's other deployments, but conversion software too, like that.
There's a few different tools. Yeah, there's a few different tools that will do it. This is the one that's linked from the AWRL's website. And then if you have everything set up, the submission now is done using this little web app on the AWRL's website, and you just attach your file to it, and you give the categories, and you give some information, and let it go, and it immediately will calculate your score. So even if you didn't calculate the score, your software didn't do it, it'll calculate it, and it'll give it back to you, and it'll post to their website saying that we received your log. So it's the same process you'd use for any of the AWRL contests. Next slide. Assistance. This is very different than HF assistance. Pretty much in VHF, you can use any form of assistance you want, any way, shape, or form to get in touch with somebody. You can call them, you can text them, you can get on WhatsApp,
you can have skeds.
Yep. And it's very commonly done in VHF contesting because typically you know a lot of the people that are involved. You can get on your repeater. You can get on the club's repeater and say, okay, guys, so, you know, we're going to meet on the repeater, and then we're going to break off from there, and we're going to go make these contacts. You can set times to do that. Many clubs will do that. They'll use their repeater to kind of coordinate. So the only caveat is you can't use the external assistance to say, yeah, I got your contact, or I can't hear you. You can use it to set up the schedule and set up what frequency. You could even say exactly where to point to. But once you're done, you really have to use the radio to make the contact. Now, in practice, what you'll see is somebody will reply back, hey, great QSO, thanks. They're being polite, but they're kind of breaking the rules when they do that. Yeah, it's kind of breaking the rules, but let's face it, if it's VHF contest, who really cares, right? Me, you know, when I'm going for first place nationwide, I try to be careful with stuff like that. Some people refuse to use assistance. They really want to do it the old-fashioned way. They set up skeds ahead of time before the contest starts, or they just call CQ, and that's perfectly fine. But this is different. This is different for people that they might not be used to. Next slide. All right, so what needs to be done here before the club can submit? Years ago, in 2016, I think it was, the AWRL changed the rules. And they said that if you're going to submit for a club, you must submit your club roster before the contest starts. And you must say what kind of a club you are. And so you'll see here, this in 2017, looks like you participated in the VHF contest because it was January 19th. And then something you participated in July. I don't know what that might have been. And so you submitted at the 35-mile circle, which tells me it's a local club, and you're going to have less than 10 people actually submit entries. And here's the people that are registered. Now, it doesn't mean you have to only have 6 or 10 people registered here, but it does mean you can only have 10 people submit. So you can have 20 people listed.
So it's the highest 10 scores. Yeah.
If you go 11, it'll automatically switch you over to medium, which is fine.
Well, it looks like we have more than 10.
Well, I don't know what contest you submitted, right? Only 4 guys might have participated. And if it was only 4 guys that participated, then you're fine. You're still local.
This is just the
authorized.
The only one I remember is a really contest. Probably the one in January, I think.
January 19th would definitely be the VHF contest.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember that. I don't know.
I remember either.
I'm but not sure.
So what we need to do here is to find out who wants to participate or who might participate. That's probably a better way of saying it. And update the list. And I can help. You know, Brian has access to do that. And I can help with that. But basically, all you do is you go click list. You download what's already there. You update it and you re-upload it. And then what it will do is it will send it to the authorized club contact, which is probably Brian. Could be your secretary or your treasurer.
Yeah, I think Rich Hall initially, I think, submitted the roster. I think I'm probably listed as the contact as far as AWRL is concerned, unless they use who submitted this, you know, one time, or whoever. We need, obviously probably going to need to update it if we have anybody else that's interested.
Rochester VHF Group has 240 something people listed. We listed everybody who ever submitted a log in the Rochester area, because when they did the rule change, we didn't want anybody to potentially submit a log and then not get counted.
Right. Right.
So we included everybody. Now, maybe that wasn't the right approach, but that's what we did. Correct. If you say they're members, they're members. So we kind of had an ethical issue, and we said, well, how do we address that? So we created a new class of member called an associate member. So now we have full voting rights members, and we have this associate contest grade member. So that's how we kind of addressed it, but it's still a little messy.
So if you submit your scores to one club in this local category, can you also submit scores to another club in another category?
You could be registered with 100 clubs, but it's the one that you put down on your log entry that it's going to go to.
So anybody in our club that would rather submit to the VHF group, they're going to have to submit to the VHF group, but not our club. Like, say, Dave Carlson.
Dave's probably going to submit to the VHF group, but like Steve doesn't normally contest, and so that might be something he might want to do, right? You might want to add a few contacts for his Xerox club.
Okay, well, okay. So the Xerox Club comes to the Xerox Club, period. It doesn't come at all. The only benefit to the Rochester VHF group is that I gave up points by making contact.
Yeah, you know, really my underlying motivation is to someday get back to the Rochester Cup, get enough clubs where they're submitting, and so that we can kind of get that nice friendly banter back and forth again.
I consider a member of the VHF Club even more.
You're on our list.
Yeah, that's the question.
But I encourage you, though, to submit for this club.
Okay. You'll do better if I submitted to your club.
Again, I'd like to get all the clubs back submitting on their own behalf again.
Oh, okay.
So that we can get that kind of rivalry going in a couple of years. You know, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun if we do that. But it's going to take a couple of years to get everybody back up to speed.
If you were around, we were going to be there at the XA club. We did.
Yeah. So we're back. The VHF group is back to winning nationally now. We probably once a year we win one of the three contests nationally. And then 5 years ago, we won all three. You know, we call it Triple Crown. We won all three contests. But how we did it back then was we pulled in everybody in the whole Rochester area. We had 52 entries. You know, we want to try to change the style now where it's back to what it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago, where other clubs are participating on their own behalf. All right. Not too much left. Next slide. So what do we need? We absolutely need three entries, or we can't be listed. So we need at least three people. Yes. And they have to be three submitted and accepted logs. It'd be nice if we could also get a rover station, but it's not necessary. It's real helpful if you guys go out, you know, two guys want to go out for coffee and you go, okay, let's go to Leroy for coffee today and make a few contacts on the way. But logging gets to be a little troublesome when you're driving.
Is this a rover station with a slash R or just a rover, just a mobile station that's driving around in a single grid?
If you're going to stay in a single grid, it doesn't really matter. You can do whatever you want. And you can do that. If you're going to go to one more than one grid, you have to sign rover.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing.
Yep. We tend to focus on activity hours because most people don't really have all the gear and the patience to sit there and fish that long. You know, this is like, you know, fishing or hunting for 2 days. So we have the 7, 8, 9, 10 concept for activity hours where on Saturday at 7 p.m., we have a sideband frequency and we have an FM frequency. So if you only have FM on 2 meters, 8 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday are good times to get on. And so other like VHF group members will get on and call CQ, and you know, it's a way to kind of focus or concentrate your operating times. But on 6 meter FT8, all day, every day of the contest, you're going to see something, which seems strange, but hey, we'll take it. So So really, you got to get some of the club members a little motivated, you know, maybe some one-on-one conversations. What doesn't work, I found out, emailing a bunch of club members saying, hey, let's participate in the contest, because nobody ever replies. But, you know, if you go out to lunch with a couple of the guys and, hey, let's throw a few points on, just for the sake of submitting a log, that tends to work. So I think, you know, from the folks here, does everybody have 6 meter all mode? Yeah. So you have all mode on 6 meters, right? So you,
I don't know what
it's like, probably built into your flex, right? It's got the primary stuff. Anybody have 2 meter all mode?
Necessarily intended. I'd have to do a temporary setup.
So you can
I can do vertical.
And you can do that. And so, you know, theoretically, you're going to have terrible losses, but we found in practice that's not always the case. So one guy's horizontal, another guy's vertical, and technically you shouldn't be able to hear each other, but you absolutely do. You absolutely do.
That would be a big problem. My 2 meter antenna is pretty decent. It's on the mast of my tripander. It's about 25, 30 feet off the ground, but it's vertically polarized, and it's the only antenna I've got. Unless I can somehow manage to get the long wire below.
Is it all mode, or is it just FM?
My antenna, my vertically polarized antenna, you know, I've got one vertical. My rig would be an FD8, so that would be as full power for whatever polarization I put on it.
But the radio, so what radio are you running 2 meters on?
Oh, I'm sorry, it's an FM.
Okay, FM. So vertical's fine. Vertical's perfect.
But I was thinking of six, so an antenna for 6 meter FM, say, or something like that.
It's pretty rare. FM is pretty rare on 6 meters.
So six meters on.
So as long as you got a wire or something like that for 6 meters, you're in good shape. And then of course there is an option, and it gets complicated from a logging perspective, but the AWR allows me to do a fixed station and it allows me to do a rover station. Now, you can make a lot of contacts that way, right? So you make four contacts in each grid, then you come back home and you make a fifth set of contacts. It's something you can do, but you have to be very careful to exchange rover when you're rover and not exchange rover when you're home. And the other folks have to log it that way. Otherwise, when the AWRL sees it, they throw out the points.
So is that two separate entries? Then?
Yes, okay. Two separate logs.
So you have to treat like them separate logs.
Yep, they do. Yeah. So that's really all that we need to do is, you know, kind of make a commitment, get on the air, and you know, there's probably about 30 people in the area that are pretty active. Finding them is not always easy. But you know, like I said, you get on 6 meter FT8, you'll find them. Now, I'll go through a little bit more of a demo here with Bob. But there's a message called TX5 in the sequence of messages that you can type in.
Yes.
And so, let's say you get a person on 6 meters and you want to work them on 2 meters, but you only have 2 meter FM. How do you tell the guy you want a QSY? You say QSY 2MFM, right? And he's going to know it's 14655 because that's where everybody goes. So you say QSY 2 meter FM, he's still on the same frequency, so he knows that it's you. And there's a good chance, about a 50-50 chance, you can get the guy at QSY that way. That's been the real gripe with a lot of people with 6 meter FT8 is they don't come off of the frequency just to move up the bands. But using that TX5 message after you're done with the conversation, QSY, 2 meter FM, or whatever you want to hit, wherever you want QSY to. It works out pretty well.
Okay, that's legal.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think
that would be legal on other.
There's a lot you could do on VHF that doesn't work.
At least you 30. I guess I remember hearing that on VHF contests for years. Got any other bands?
Yeah.
If you said that, if you work on somebody on 40, got any other bands? No.
I'll tell you where you can put your bands.
Yeah.
I think that might be it for the slides.
Yeah.